It's an appropriate song for all of us who feel like we are chained to our past hurts, our poor decisions, our addictions, our lifestyle. This is a song, it's about being set free by the blood of Christ. So let me ask you a question. Some of those men got released from prison this week. They walked in here for church next Sunday morning. How would they be received? That's what we're talking about today. Acceptance. How would they be received? I don't know that you want to answer that question, but I have no hesitation in answering it. This is the most accepting church I've ever been part of. A couple of weeks ago, I challenged you in an area that I said I thought we could do better. This is an area that you exceed. You've been accepting of everyone who walked through that door, and some of them were people, frankly, that I have met in jail. Some of them had different colors of skin and spoke different languages. But you have welcomed them all without hesitation. This past week, I got a message from a man. He'd just been released from Hutchinson from the state prison there, and he had just gotten out, and he was on his way to McCook to connect with his wife. But he wanted to stop by and see me. I had met him before he went into prison. I'll call him Big John. That's not his name. He's 6'10". He's as black could be. And when we greeted each other, he just hugged me with this engulfing bear. You can imagine being hugged by a 6'10" guy. Just a giant of a black man. We had lunch together at Planks. He wanted to know where we could have barbecue. We went to Planks. We had a great lunch. We talked about church. We talked about family. He's so excited to get up to see his wife and his kids. But if he had stayed, and if he walked through those doors this morning, how would we have responded? First of all, we'd be shocked that this giant black man walked in the room. And then he would smile, and it would melt your heart. I believe you would accept him with the warmth that you accepted Tobias and Natalie. From day one, you love them. You see, so many people are wondering when they walk through these doors and they walk through the door of another church, will I be accepted when I come into that room? I've joked with countless numbers of people, especially in the last 15 years, and I've joked with them. They'll say, well, the walls would cave in if I walked in. I said, no, we have reinforced the walls. Now I come to a church, I don't think anything's going to knock these walls down, short of the Lord. They want more than anything else to be accepted. Those who have had addictions or a past incarceration or a divorce. Do you know how difficult it is to walk back into church after you've gone through a divorce? You ask the question, will they accept me? So let's get some things straight. I want to clarify some things as we are on this journey to maturity in Christ. Everything we're talking about is about building up one another. As we put into practice the positive one another passages that I gave you a few weeks ago. This week it's on acceptance. And I've asked the question, so what is your AQ? Now, we live in a time, some of us may not have any clue what I'm going to talk about in the next few seconds, But most of us will know that we live in a world in which everybody abbreviates things with letters. They write LOL, which does not stand for little old lady, by the way. They write, it stands for laughing out loud. Or they'll put BTW. I remember my son sending me a text and said BTW, and I thought, no, I have a BMW. What are you talking about? It means by the way. And am I the only one in the room that thinks God is offended every time someone writes OMG? I think he is offended. I don't need to tell you about it. But letters get us all messed up. So what does that AQ stand for? It stands for acceptance quotient. I want to read a story for you. It's going to take a couple of minutes. It's a classic story. I think I shared it the first time probably 30 years ago. It's about a lady, a very prim and proper lady, who wanted some information and she didn't know how to go about asking the right question. So the story begins, "My friend is a rather old-fashioned lady, always quite delicate and elegant, especially in language. She and her husband were planning a week's vacation in Florida, so she wrote to a particular campground and asked for a reservation. She wanted to make sure the campground was fully equipped, but didn't know how to ask about the toilet facilities. She couldn't bring herself to write the word toilet in the letter." I know someone else who couldn't do that. In Australia, it's the toilet. My wife could not call it the toilet. She just couldn't say the words. After much deliberation, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term, bathroom commode. But when she wrote that down, she still thought she was being too forward. So she started all over again and rewrote the entire letter and referred to the bathroom commode merely as the BC. "Does the campground have its own BC?" is what she actually wrote. Well, the campground owner wasn't old-fashioned at all. And when he got the letter, he just couldn't figure out what the woman was talking about. That BC business had him really stumped. After worrying about it for a while, he showed the letter to several campers, but they couldn't imagine what the lady meant either. So the campground owner, finally coming to the conclusion that the lady must be asking about the location of the local Baptist church, sat down and wrote the following letter. "Dear Madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but I now take great pleasure in informing you that the BC is located 9 miles north of the campground and is capable of seating 250 people at one time. It's located in a beautiful pine grove and is opened only on Sundays and Wednesdays. I admit it's quite a distance away if you are in the habit of going regularly. But no doubt you will be pleased to know that a great number of people take their lunches along and make a day of it. They usually arrive early, stay late. My daughter met her husband at the BC. The last time my wife and I were there was 6 years ago, and it was so crowded we had to stand up the whole time we were there. Sometimes it's so crowded there are five to a seat. It may interest you to know that right now there's a supper plan to raise money to buy more seats. They're going to hold it in the basement of the BC. I would like to say it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly, but it is surely not to lack of a desire on my part. As we grow older, it seems to be more of an effort, particularly in the cold weather. If you decide to come down to our campground, perhaps I could go with you for the first time, go sit with you, and introduce you to all the other folks. We will be sure to have a seat up in the front where you can be seen by everyone. Remember, we're a friendly community. Sincerely yours." Amen. You need to get your letters straight. AQ, acceptance quotient. If you have read much of Charles Swindoll, he is all the time asking the question, what is your acceptance quotient? Last week, we were in Romans 15:5. I want to begin there and read through verse 7, because where we are today just follows from Romans 15:5. So I'm going to begin in verse 5, read through verse 7. I think verse 7 is probably going to be on the screen. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind, remember we talked about being like-minded, and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 7, accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. First and foremost, we need to accept those who are different from ourselves or yourself. We need to accept those who are different than yourself. You see, the setting of Romans 14 is that they were talking about what to do about eating meat that's been offered to idols. Some people would eat it, some people wouldn't eat it. It would offend some, it wouldn't offend some. Paul says we aren't going to all think the same or all have the same backgrounds. We need to accept people for the fact that they're just different than us. It's okay. One might have tattoos that another would not have. We have some friends who go to Deb's Bible study on Thursday night. And I've been truly concerned because they play cards. And some people, you know, don't like playing cards. They think it's of the devil. And certainly the game they play must be of the devil. It's called Nasty Canasta. Now, how more sinful can you get? I love to play cards. I'll share more about that in a minute. Others today will root for the Rams, while those with sketchy backgrounds will root for the Patriots. I told some in our life group the other day that I was going to wear, if the Chiefs had won last week, which they should have won, but if they had won, I would have worn a Chiefs jersey and preached in a Chiefs jersey. Now, I'm going to say that, and I know that some of you would be offended to see your preacher in a Chiefs jersey. You're probably a Bronco fan, but you'll have to get over it. You see, we have so many things that we're different about, and we have to accept each other and say, it's okay. It's okay if you want to be a Patriot fan. I don't know why. They cheat. If you know much about football, you know what I'm talking about. But there are differences in us. Romans 14, 19 to 21, these are the words Paul says. Let us therefore make every effort. This is after the discussion about eating meat. This is the key point. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work. By the way, that word edification, that mutual edification, that's building up one another. Same word. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to stumble or fall. We need to honor one another by respecting the differences that we have. I mentioned that I love to play cards. I do. I probably spent far too much time playing pinochle in college. And when I was a youth minister in Scio, Oregon, the senior minister was an older retired guy. He was doing an interim there. They loved him so well, he was there for 7 years. But Dr. Jim Alley hated cards. He'd grown up in the Depression and World War II, and he had seen his father gamble away all of his earnings. So did Jim Alley. The cards were of the devil. I decided that whenever Jim Alley was in the presence of my house, that there would never be a deck of cards in his vision. Not because I was hiding anything, because he knew I loved to play cards, but out of respect for this man. There are some people who like to have a glass of wine or a beer with their meal, while Brenda and I have chosen to abstain. I'm just going to be point blank. The Bible doesn't say it's sinful to have a glass of wine or a beer. It does say don't be drunk. But Brenda and I have chosen to abstain because we decided early in our marriage we would do nothing. We would try to do nothing that might cause a brother or sister to stumble. I had a men's accountability group. Every Thursday night we met for dinner. It went for eight or nine years. And for several of those years, we met in Jack's Sports Bar. And one day, I looked around the group of men that were there, and I said to them, every one of you is a recovering alcoholic. How foolish is it that we have our men's accountability group in a place that might cause you to stumble? It might be a trigger for you. So fortunately, within a month, IHOP opened up, and we met in IHOP until a year and a half ago, every Thursday night. Did we have to move from Jack's? No. It's about not wanting a brother to stumble. So we need to, point A, honor one another by respecting differences. Point B, there's no place for legalism in acceptance. Legalism is when we add certain ideas or doctrines into the criteria for being acceptable. Brenda and I have a friend. He was an elder in a church in East Tennessee, one of the churches we were in. He was one of those legalists. He added things like you couldn't imagine all the criteria he had for you to be acceptable to him. I'll just give you a hint about how narrow his mind was. And he was an elder in the church. We had a Bible study on a Wednesday night, like a lot of churches did in the 1990s. And all of a sudden he said, you know, God cannot nor does he hear the prayer of anybody who's not immersed. And I said, what? He said, God cannot hear the prayer of anybody who's not an immersed believer. And I said, really? So your sainted Methodist mother, who still goes to the Methodist church, has been praying in vain all of her life. And he said, that's right. Now that's legalism, folks. And there's no place for it in the church. Now, some of us have it. It's not maybe not as severe as this man named Raymond. But we need to be careful. We don't set other human standards as the level criteria for acceptance. Point number two, there's no place for prejudice in acceptance. There's no place for prejudice in acceptance. Gene Getz is a great preacher, writer, teacher in the Dallas area. He was on the staff at Dallas Theological Seminary started fellowship Bible churches, and all of the fellowship churches, they all began with Gene Getz. This is what he writes. Prejudice, favoritism, and discrimination in the body of Christ rejects and alienates some Christians and accept others. This violates the laws of God. Furthermore, this kind of behavior violates the very nature of the functioning body of Christ. We are all one. Every member is important. Every member is important. Peter struggled with it. We don't know exactly how long it was from the time of the church beginning to the 10th chapter of Acts, but for all of that time, Peter believed all Gentiles were going to hell. They were unclean. And God revealed to him in a vision in Acts 10 that they weren't. And so the end of Acts 10, he goes into the household of Cornelius and he baptizes Cornelius and his household, and they're all Gentiles. But it took that much time from Acts 2 when the church began to Acts 10. I don't know how many years it is. It doesn't say. But prejudice was a part. Point 3, acceptance doesn't mean condoning of sin. Acceptance doesn't mean condoning of sin. When I was in high school, one of my high school friends in our youth group became pregnant. And I'd like to tell you that my home church, her home church, rallied around her. They did not. They shunned her. They cast her aside. They treated her like she was unclean. I have a preacher friend named Bill Putnam, longtime preacher in Idaho and now runs the Evangelistic Association in Oregon. When Bill and Bobby were ministering in Idaho, he was the minister. You need to get that point. His 15-year-old daughter knocked on his door and said, "Daddy, help, I'm pregnant." What is the preacher's daughter getting pregnant? That church rallied around them. They hated the fact that she was pregnant, but they loved her to death. We've had Glenda share about ABC pregnancy, and I don't want to get political, but I'm just going to say a couple things here. I am pro-life, okay? And any candidate that wants my vote needs to be pro-life. If they're not pro-life, I can tell you right now, doesn't matter whether we agree on everything else, I will never vote for them. Everywhere I have gone, my wife, my son are here, they can verify. Everywhere I have gone, I have said that the church needs to support those who are pregnant. If we're going to be against abortion, then the church needs to come up with an alternative to help these young girls. And in our community, it's ABC Pregnancy Center. And I've already spoken to the Witness Commission about my encouragement that somewhere along the line, this church take them on in our budget. They are the one agency reaching out to help countless number of pregnant girls with advice for other girls how to prevent it. So rather than turn our back on them, we need to teach and educate and encourage them towards holiness. Someone has said, a true understanding of the grace of God and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ leads to holiness, not worldliness. Because our society of the world says that your behavior is okay, doesn't make it okay. We need to listen to God's word. God's word is clear, and instead of bashing people in the head with it, We need to instruct and correct them as Timothy did. Are we an accepting church? I think we are. Could we do better? We can always do better. Do we struggle maybe individually with some of the things I've talked about today? Maybe prejudice is a struggle. I have been told, I cannot verify it, there's not a black person buried in the Scott City Cemetery. I want to conclude with a story, and then we're going to sing Chainbreaker. You get email stories. Some are funny, some are serious. Now they're on Facebook. They come by the hundreds. This is a story that I heard probably 10 or 15 years ago. You probably have gotten the same email, so I'm not sharing something new. I don't know who authored it. I've called it the genuine church usher. But the story is told that a long-haired, hippie-looking guy in flip-flops and unclean clothes and long hair walks into a church, and he looks down the church for a place to sit, and it appears that there's not an empty seat in the entire room. The church is packed. So he goes down, and he walks down here to the front row, and he sits down in the middle of the aisle so he can hear the preacher. And everybody's looking at him. And everybody's wondering, okay, when is the usher going to come and send him out the door or find him a place in the back? But there was an elderly usher. And he walked down that long hall, the aisle of that church. And everybody was looking to see what he was going to do. What was he going to do? What do you think he was going to do? What do you think he would do? They were all wondering. They were just waiting. Nobody was paying any attention to what the preacher was saying. They were watching this usher shuffle his feet down. And he went down by the young man, and he knelt down, and he sat down next to him. And they worshiped together. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. A church that will look beyond the fact that maybe you didn't have a shower last night and maybe you're in flip-flops and your clothes aren't the cleanest. But we can worship God together. You see, God breaks the chains in our life. Maybe the chain for you is prejudice. Maybe the chain for you might be something different. Maybe it is addictions, or it's past hurts, or it's grief, or it's incarceration. We have a God who breaks down those chains. We're going to sing this song, Chainbreaker, it'll have the lyrics up there this time. And I want to encourage you to let God break loose the chains in your life and let him accept you as you are. And I will tell you, this church family will accept you just the way you are. Let's stand together as we sing Chainbreaker.